And this morning, I get the opportunity to share with you the Word of God found in Matthew chapter 2. This morning, I want to talk with you about the title of the message, rather, Starlight, Star Bright. But Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the birth of Jesus through the eyes of the wise men. I love the last song they sang this morning is said that we were the reason he came. Isn't that a great truth to grab a hold of that and to hold on to it? Know that you're the very reason that Christ came, the very reason that babe was born in a manger. And this morning, I know we've had an opportunity to worship through song. What a blessing it is to be able to gather ourselves together and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've been able to do that today, and so I'm excited to be able to come behind the music and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. There's some misconceptions about these wise men I want to share with you that a lot of times we feel like because of the songs that we sing, We Three Kings, that we think there were three kings who brought gifts to King Jesus in a manger. And facts are, we really don't know how many there were. Another reason we think that there were three is because there were three specific gifts, individual gifts that were brought. And we think because there were three gifts that there was one for each king that brought those. And, you know, again, that's just a misconception. We really don't know how many wise men there were. Let me share this with you. They traveled from Persia all the way to Jerusalem, right close to Bethlehem, and you know, it was about a 1,000-mile journey that they traveled. And so you have to understand, these kings, there would have been a huge caravan that followed them, that had all of their supplies with them. If you can imagine, follow with me in your mind for just a moment, if you can imagine being on camel traveling from Henderson, Tennessee to Miami, Florida, about 970 miles thereabouts. That'd be a rough journey, wouldn't it? And you would really have to be prepared in order to make that kind of a trip, especially on camel. No telling how long it really took them to get there. Another misconception, I think we wrongly assume that the wise men appeared the very night Jesus was born. And facts are, you're going to look at the scripture this morning if you have your Bibles, but it says this in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod. In chapter 2, it says, in verse 2, it says this, saying, as the wise men entered Jerusalem, they asked King Herod, where is this child who has been born King of the Jews? He'd already been born, it says. And then we go down to verse 11, and it says this, they finally find the place where Jesus is no longer in a manger, but he is wrapped up in his mother's arms. It says this in verse 11, and when the wise men had come into the house, so you see it's a picture, they're no longer in a stable, but now they're in a house. And it says they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and they worshiped him. And so there's some misconceptions that I wanted to try and debunk those this morning. We need to talk about this so that you understand. Now listen, I don't want you to go home. I know we're real close to Christmas and some of you have your nativity scenes. They're set up. Don't go home and change it. Don't go home and move these kings. Because it really doesn't matter if there were two kings, three kings, or 23 kings. The facts are, their purpose was to find King Jesus, a babe who had been born in a manger, and worship him. And that's what their goal was. That was their greatest desire as wise men, as kings. As some have said, wise men is an oxymoronic statement. Wise men, you get that, ladies? What? It's kind of like jumbo shrimp. Shrimp are, they're shrimp. Or kind of like rap music. Some of you will get that later. I know. But, you know, those just don't go together. They don't work for me. I don't get it. I don't understand. Brian's tall guy back there, and he said, it was over my head, too. All right. It was over there. Well, if they would have been standing like you are, they would have caught it, right? That's it. All right. And so this morning, I want to share with you, we're going to look at some truths concerning the Word of God. As we enter into the Word this morning, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, what I want to do is we're going to take a different route this morning. Today, we're not just going to talk about the Christmas story. Today, what I want to do is I want to take the Christmas message, and I want us to look at it and see how this can apply to your life. How do these wise men, how their journey, how this trip that they were a part of, how can we see the principles in this journey and help these to apply to you and to me as men, women, and children who love King Jesus? So with that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests, scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they had departed. And behold, the star, which had been seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." We pray with me, Father in heaven, today, in the mighty, magnificent name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace, praising you for the opportunity to have been able to worship you this morning through song. Lord, our hearts are already filled with such joy because we have already been able to enter into your presence. We know that you have gathered here with us. We know, Father, that you and you alone are going to receive honor and glory today. That's our greatest desire. And that we would be able to meet with you, that we would be able to worship you, that we would be able to rejoice because of a Savior born in a manger. Father, today we ask that your word will go forth and that it'll not return void, but that you would have your way with our hearts. We ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. So when the Magi left Persia, you got to understand, they didn't have a MapQuest. It wasn't something that was ready available. They couldn't get on their computer. They couldn't pull it up, the route, and print it off and follow it. They didn't have a GPS that spoke to them that said, turn right at the Jordan River. They had none of these things. But they had something even better. What did they have? They had a star that God had placed in the sky for them to follow. Can you imagine God placing a star in the sky for them to be able to follow? It must have been an amazing thing. They've been able to figure out through the Word of God exactly when the star would appear. And then they saw it. And as they saw this star, they'd been searching and looking and wondering. They found some scripture in Daniel. They found some scripture in Micah. They found these instances. And then they were able to put it all together. And they knew the exact moment Jesus was born, because that's the moment the star appeared. And that's the moment when the star appeared that the wise men began their journey. Whether it was a couple of weeks or whether it was a few months before they arrived, you have to understand that at this point, King Jesus, the babe born in a manger, had already begun to grow. And he was no longer that infant child in a manger, but now he was that infant babe in a manger, but he was that child in his mother's arms in a house that had been provided for them. So it's an amazing trip that these men entered into. And as we look at the Word of God this morning, beginning in Matthew chapter 2, there are four things that I want to submit to you. And as we talk about these wise men, the first thing that I want to submit to you this morning is this. The wisest people honestly seek God. The wisest people honestly seek God. You make sure, if you have your bulletins this morning, you can turn over on the back and there's an outline there. You fill those spots in, those empty spaces. But you make sure that you have put in there, honestly seek God. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13, God gave us an important invitation through the prophet Jeremiah, and this is what he said. He said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." You hear what the word is saying? You hear what God is sharing? He says, "You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And the idea is that there can be no part of your heart left undone when it comes to you seeking King Jesus. And the wisest people, they're going to honestly seek him. We live in a world today where there are a lot of self-proclaimed wise individuals. They're academically, they're smarter than all of the rest of us. They have it going on when it comes to science and trying to figure things out that make other things work. But I want to tell you, sometimes it doesn't make any difference how intelligent you are. You can still miss the mark. I want to tell you, I love Jerry Clower. How many of you like Jerry Clower? Listen, I'm a Jerry Clower fan. I love the story when him and Marcel were going coon hunting. Isn't that a good story? They were going coon hunting and Jerry and... I'm a squirrel, right? I'm chasing a rabbit. But let me tell this story. Brad, I want to tell this story. Is that okay? Jerry and Marcel, they were going coon hunting one morning or one night, and they had gotten there. They decided that they wanted to give the coon a fighting chance. And so Jerry and Marcel decide that Marcel's going to climb the tree, and he's going to just shake the limb that the coon is on. He gets up there, and this coon, he thinks, is just tearing him up. And come to find out, it's not a coon at all. It's a lynx. And so when he's up there, he's in this tree, he's just getting pummeled. He's getting scratched all to pieces. He's getting bitten, and he can't hardly stand it. And Marcel says, "Jerry, just shoot up here. Shoot that thing." You've heard that, right? Shoot that thing. Jerry says, "Marcel, I can't shoot up there because I might hit you." Marcel says, "Jerry, just shoot up here amongst us because one of us got to have some relief." I love that story. That's so funny. I just love it. But that same man who tells those funny jokes, he's also a very intelligent theologian, if you will. And this is what he said. He said, "Some people have been educated beyond their intelligence." Isn't that the truth? We live in a world where many, many people claim that there's absolutely no God and there's no proof of God. And there's nothing that you can say that would prove to them. There's nothing that you can show them that would prove to them that God exists. And so if you ever, as a believer, you ever find yourself facing an atheist, you've got to ask them, just do this. "Sir, are you an honest atheist or a dishonest atheist?" They're going to say, "Well, what's the difference? I just don't believe there's a God." And so here's the difference. A dishonest atheist is going to say that there is no God, that my mind's made up, and I'm not open to any evidence. The dishonest atheist. The honest atheist is going to say this: "I don't believe God now, but I'm open and I'm searching for the truth about whether God exists." And so there's a huge difference. Matter of fact, there was a great intellectual whose name was C.S. Lewis. At one point, you understand he was an atheist. But he was an honest atheist. He was open. He wanted to believe that there was a God, but he just couldn't find the evidence. But he began to seek God, and he found that through the New Testament that Jesus was made known. And this is a quote. C.S. Lewis says this, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance." We can all agree with that, right? But then he goes on and he says this, "If true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." Isn't that true? Christianity, our faith, what you and I believe about King Jesus, it cannot just kind of be true. It's either true or it's not true. And I want to tell you, I'm the one who's staking my life on the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the wisest of individuals honestly seek God. Second thing that I want to submit to you this morning as we continue on is this. God reveals his plans for anyone to discover. God reveals his plans for anyone to discover. You need to get this. The Bible is God's word. He outlines so many things, not only what has happened in the past, but what is going to happen. And can I just say this? Let me share this. Get it. Do you know that we win in the end? Amen. We win. If you want to know, men, women, children who have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who believe in their heart that he was born in a manger of a virgin, that he died on an old rugged cross for our sins, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, that he was raised on the third day, you put your trust and your faith in King Jesus, listen to me, you win. Amen. I want to tell you something. That's a Christmas message all by itself. Amen. Because what I'm telling you is we win. We don't have to worry about whether there's a God or not because we have already believed in the fact that King Jesus is the one. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the anointed one from our Father in heaven. And so we praise God for that. Listen to what concerning the Word of God. If you understand that God reveals his plans for anyone to discover, according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, it says this. It says, "Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it." Now, that's important for the book of Revelation. You understand that. But it's also equally important for all of the rest of the Word of God as it talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of who this babe in a manger really is. You have to be able to understand that it really took some belief for wise men to travel about 1,000 miles from Persia to Bethlehem to worship a babe in a manger, a child. Their desire was to worship him, though, as though he were the Savior of the world. And I think that's a wonderful story. But these wise men, they had the book of Daniel, and they would get the book and they would search it over. They would scrutinize it. They would read it. Their desire was to try and figure out when this babe was going to be born. And through the book of Daniel, it's amazing that as the sign appeared in the sky, they knew that exact moment that King Jesus was born. From that moment on, they headed out towards Jerusalem. And then they find the king there and they ask him, "Where is this babe that's been born in a manger?" They wanted to know. Herod's thinking to himself, "Wait a minute, you mean there's a king? There's a king of the Jews? But I'm king in Jerusalem." He really probably can't imagine all that was going through his mind during these moments when the wise men were there asking him the questions. And so he wanted to try and figure out how he could get the wise men to go to Bethlehem and to bring back where this child was. And he said that he was going to go worship this king himself, but in reality, you know that what his desire was to take Jesus and to kill him as a babe. But God had revealed to them in a dream that they shouldn't go back to Jerusalem, but that they should go home another route. So one of the things that you've got to do is you've got to take the Word of God, and it's important because these wise men had the book of Daniel, and then there were priests who were Jewish priests that were literally only about 7 miles from Bethlehem where baby Jesus was born in a manger, and they couldn't figure it out. But these wise men were able to figure it out. And so this is what I need you to do as a believer. Listen, you don't just take the Word of God and you don't just kind of pick and choose what you're going to believe or how you're going to live your life. It's really a matter of you living your life out loud for King Jesus. People need to see the evidence of your belief that you acknowledge this babe in a manger is the one and only Son of God who came to live a perfect life and die for your sins. He came for me. He came for you. And we understand that. So James chapter 1 verse 22 says this, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. We've got to do that. We don't just listen, but it's about obedience, being obedient. As I've shared with you, this is what the Word of God tells you. As it talks about things that have already happened in the past. It talks about the future, all of these things. But really, when you look at it, hey, we win. And that's what matters, isn't it? We win. Why do we win? We win because of Jesus. The third thing that I submit to you this morning is this. If you follow God's light, you will always find Jesus. If you follow God's light, you'll always find Jesus. Here it is. Five times in the scripture that we're looking at, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, five times the word star, they followed the star. Five times that's mentioned. And you have to understand what happened is that the light in the desert sky led them to exactly where Jesus was. Why? How is that possible? Because Jesus was the light of the world. Has that changed? No. Jesus is still the light of the world. You know how he shines today? Through you and through me. But he's still shining very, very bright. He's shining very, very bright. This is what John chapter 1 verse 4 and 5 and then also verse 9 says. It says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. See, the Magi, these wise men, they weren't merely trying to look through the book of Daniel and try and figure a puzzle out. That wasn't their intent. Their intent was to take the scripture and to look it, to search it, and to find where this babe in a manger was because they desired to go and worship him. And do you know the first thing they did, verse 11 says, when they entered into the house, that they bowed down. They worshiped with their hearts open wide. Can you imagine that the scripture already says when the star appeared and stopped over the home where the babe was, that they were overjoyed. They rejoiced exceedingly. They were overjoyed. And then when they entered into the house, they found this babe. He was in his mother's arms, on her lap. And they bowed down and they worshiped. Then after they worshiped, they presented gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold was that representing a king. They believed that he was a king. The frankincense or the incense was that would tell you, what is the incense for? I just absolutely had a blank. To worship. Thank you. As a priest, thank you so much. Preacher's not supposed to forget anything, is he? But I do. But it was about worshiping him. And then the myrrh was an embalming gel that would be used when he was crucified. And it were signs that they were able to find this all through the book of Daniel. And so they wanted to go and they wanted to present this in order to worship him. So can you imagine the difficulty of worshiping a babe, a child? Can you imagine that? You as an individual, let me ask you, a reality check for you. If you and I lived in the time when Christ Jesus were born, we realize the prophecy being fulfilled through this babe born of a virgin in a manger? Would you be one who would go and worship, bow down before him? Or would you be one of those in the world who say, this can't be the king. This can't be the Messiah. I'll not bow down and I'll not worship him. C.J. Ryle wrote this. He said that we read of no greater faith than this in all the Bible. It is a faith that deserves to be placed side by side with that of the penitent thief. The thief saw one dying the death of a criminal, and yet prayed to him and called him Lord. The wise men saw a newborn babe in a lap of a poor woman, and yet they worshiped him and confessed that he was the Christ. And so as we continue on today, my question to you is, do you confess that he is the Christ, Lord of your life? And the last and final thing that I submit to you this morning, the fourth thing is this. God can use you. Listen to me. God can use you as his light to direct people to Jesus. Should that not be our greatest desire, that God would use us as individuals to lead others to King Jesus? I hope that we can all say that. God no longer places that light in the sky for people to be guided to Jesus. You understand that the star was put in that night sky for the wise men to find this babe who had been born. And now I want you to understand that light that shined is gone in the sky that leads people to Jesus. Today, God's desire is that you be that light that shines brightly to lead others to Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something? I'm so thankful as we enter into this world that God places individuals in our lives who are those shining stars. Will you be that shining star for someone? You be that star. It's God's greatest desire for you. Not a rock star or a sports star. God wants you to be that spiritual star to lead others to Christ. But will you do it? Will you allow God to use you? Will you allow him to shine in and through you? This is what Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 says. Those who lead many to righteousness will shine like stars forever and ever, the last part of it. I love that. Those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. God wants to use us. He wants to use you. He wants to use me to guide friends and to guide family to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I am so thankful for that shining star God placed in my life to guide me to King Jesus. I'm so thankful for a grandmother who loved me enough to make sure that I went to church, make sure that when I was at the age, so for about 30, 31 years now, I know I look young, but I was 8 years old when I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I want to tell you that really my life has not been the same ever since. Thank you, Lord, for these shining lights. And so, as we begin to wrap up today, let me ask you, you're here, you've worshiped through song and through prayer, and God's word has come forward, and he says that it'll not return void. My question to you today is this. Have you been led by a shining star to Jesus Christ? Are you able to see through the scripture that Jesus is the one and only? Have you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, we're going to have an invitation in just a minute. And my prayer is that you would just ask God to remove the spirit of fear that you might have. And then that you would just ask those people that are beside you, excuse me, I want to go talk to the preacher and tell him that this morning I'm asking Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. This morning, would you do that? if God is speaking to your heart in any way. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize that, yes, I know Jesus. Preacher, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. So my question for you today is this. Will you be that shining light for friends and family to come to know Jesus as their personal Savior? You remember a few weeks ago, I challenged you. We talked about it at the end of the service last week, talking about it again this week. I challenged you to pray for someone specifically that you believe hasn't received Christ as Lord and Savior. So I don't want to see your hands, but I want to ask you, how many of you have been faithful to pray that prayer every single day? You're praying for an individual. Yeah. And so here's the thing. You need to continue to pray that prayer. Here's the deal. This is real. As you continue to pray, I believe with all of my heart that God will begin to convict you as you continue to pray for that individual. I believe this, that God will take you who is praying for that individual. And then there'll be a divine appointment where you and this individual you have been praying for will have a moment together. Don't know how exactly this is going to take place, but God is going to place you in the path of this individual, and then God is going to use you to talk to that individual about Jesus Christ. You continue to make that prayer real every single day, and I believe that God will make that prayer a reality if you continue to pray. So we're going to have an invitation this morning. I want to ask you to stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I don't know what God is laying on your heart this morning. I don't know what decision you need to make, but today is December the 22nd. You have Monday, and Tuesday is Christmas Eve. Wednesday is Christmas Day. You continue to pray every day, and I'm trusting God. Some of you are going to come and tell me, preacher, your prayer, you said it, and it was right. I prayed for this individual every day, and then God aligned us in order for me to go and share Jesus with them. And they've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then we're going to celebrate together. Well, I'll ask you to join me in prayer this morning. Father, this morning, we want to thank you for your word as it has been proclaimed through song. Lord, thank you for the children and Molly as she led them. Thank you for the adults and Cameron who led them. Father, it's ever evident that they put a lot of hours in, invested a lot of time in order that we would be able to come and worship you today through spirit and truth as we worship you through song. But now, Lord, as your word goes forth, as we talk about the stars shining bright, these wise men, as we look at it at Christmas from their perspective, Father, I pray today that you'd burden the hearts of those who gather who've never trusted Jesus as their personal Savior. Today, Father, my prayer is that you would use me to be that bright and shining star, that as your words go forth, that they'll not return void, but that whoever's here has not confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, today would be the day of salvation. Father, that you would burden their hearts even now, that when the music begins to play, that they would just make their way up front in order to talk. And then, Father, these who have gathered here, they've trusted you. They love you. You love them. They know you as Lord of their lives, King of kings and Lord of lords. They worship you in spirit and truth in every area of their lives. Father, I pray that you would bless them, that you would use them as living vessels, that as they continue to pray for those individuals you've laid upon their hearts, that you would already prepared in advance, preordained those divine appointments that are going to take place, where you're going to use these individuals who've been praying those prayers to lead a friend or family member to Jesus Christ. Father, that's our prayer today. And Lord, as we have this time of invitation, we just ask that you would have your way with our hearts. And we ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you sing with us? You come today.